Thinking back to my childhood, some 50 plus years ago, three or four shows stick out in my mind that I watched as a child. Many of which most of you will not recognize, so you may think of your favorite TV show as a child. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was one of my favorite shows as a child. He changed his shoes, put on his cardigan sweater, and he would sing. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? You may not remember Mr. Rogers, but maybe you have seen the PBS documentary about him or the movie about him starring Tom Hanks. I am told Daniel's Tiger's Neighborhood, an animated show on PBS, is a modern-day version of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood taught moral lessons and promoted kindness, creativity, and curiosity. I would have to say that it and a few of my other favorite shows had a hand in shaping my values, along with those instilled in me by the constant and loving guidance from my parents. Today, I would like to focus on words of wisdom from Mr. Rogers, his lessons of kindness, responsibility, and community have endured the test of time. At the center of the universe is a loving heart that continues to beat and that wants the best for every person. Anything that we can do to help foster the intellect and spirit and emotional growth of our fellow human beings, that is our job. Those of us who have this particular vision must continue against all odds. Life is for service. Fred Rogers. Life is for service. It's about seeing each other's needs and acting on those needs. Isn't that what our mission statement asks us to do? Kindling the flame of love and justice to nurture and heal ourselves, each other, and our world. Reverend Kimberly Debuse says, "We just need to remember to notice each other's needs and seize the moment to act, to be willing to be uncomfortable in service to something greater than ourselves, to give of ourselves out of love and affection and compassion, to be truly kind to one another, to think before we speak, and we must speak with openness and generosity. To answer the call of our principles and our morals and ethics and our faith. It's the job of each member of this congregation to foster the intellect, spirit, and emotional growth of our fellow congregants, especially our children and youth. We are fortunate to have an excellent DRE and so many congregants serving as teachers and assistants in our RE program, which brings me to another of Rogers' quotes. We live in a world in which we need to share responsibility. It's easy to say, it's not my child, not my community, not my world, not my problem. Then there are those who see the need and respond. I consider those people my heroes. Fred Rogers. My heartfelt gratitude to all those in this community who share the responsibility of meeting the needs of the children and youth. Time, effort, and imagination are given constantly to keep relationships in this UUCL community flourishing and growing. As a retired teacher, I know most of my fellow educators do not take this responsibility lightly. They respond with passion and clarity to the needs of the children or youth in their care each day. They respect their students' inherent dignity and worth, all the while respecting their varying cultural heritages and differences. Teachers, like many other service-oriented careers, are everyday heroes. Fred Rogers says, "When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.'" Fred Rogers himself was a helper when he testified before the Senate Subcommittee on Communications in 1969 in support of securing continuing funding for public broadcasting. Ann shared this story with us during the Time for All Ages. His testimony that day did indeed help to secure the funding needed. His dynamic speech continually resurfaces each time public broadcasting is threatened with cuts to federal funding. His words stand the test of time. We are living during what many of us see as scary and tragic times. When we look for helpers, we can see that even in darkness, there are lights. Another phrase comes to mind, seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Is that light hope? When we see helpers, we may see hope in the world instead of despair. We see human kindness. Seeing helpers may give us courage to take the step and help wherever we are able. Thinking back through the years, the heroes and helpers in my life are abundant, from teachers to religious leaders, to mentors, to friends, to colleagues, to family. None being so prominent as my parents. They championed my dreams, my pursuits. They were unwavering pillars of support, guiding with wisdom and love at the center. They lived their lives in service to others. They both served as leaders in scouting, helping to shape the lives of youth with the premises of the scouting laws and oaths. They both served various leadership roles and belonged to many groups in the church: Sunday school teacher, church librarian, sewing guild, altar guild, choir member, church council member, women's groups, men's groups, and I'm sure I missed a few. They were also advocates for and participated in community service. I remember vividly helping my mom delivering Meals on Wheels to shut-ins, going to the nursing home kitchen, picking up the meals, and driving all over Lewisburg delivering meals to those in need. On days I could help, she was the driver and I was the runner of the meals. Dad was a volunteer fireman and ambulance driver. This led him to become a teacher trainer of first aid for the American Red Cross. All three of his children and mom took his first aid courses. I cannot fathom all the people through work, the firehouse, the school system, and scouting that he trained over the course of his life in first aid and CPR. He trained others to be helpers in time of need. Service to the community was important, but not as important as service and loyalty to family. In a recent visit with my nephew, he reminded me how Dad would visit my grandmother, Dad's mother, each day when she resided in the nursing home. If we were home, his children and grandchildren would go with him. When my mom was in the nursing home, he spent every day with her, making sure she was cared for properly. Loving unconditionally was at the forefront of his familial relationships. My mother took care of her own mother in our home, caring for her through her cancer treatments, all the while tending to the needs of her own family. My parents, in my eyes, are the definition of living a life of service and being a helper. I often wonder if I make them proud as I try my best to live their legacy of being a helper, living a life of service to others, and loving unconditionally. Back to Fred Rogers. Mr. Rogers was a longtime friend of Francois Clemens, a UU member who was featured in a UU World article in 2016. It tells of his life, which included his working relationship and friendship with Fred Rogers. Clemens played the postman on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. This is a segment from that UU article. Looming large in this cosmology is Fred Rogers, the Presbyterian minister who hosted Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood from 1968 to 2001. In 1968, Rogers asked Clemens to join the cast as Officer Clemens, a singing police officer. He was trained operatically. Clemens agreed and played the role for 25 years. Rogers quickly became Clemens' mentor, surrogate father, and lifelong friend. I can't even explain the depth of his embrace. It was so unlimited, Clemens explains. And I always kept it in my heart. This certainty grew in part from an episode in 1969. Rogers, soaking his feet in a water-filled baby pool, invited Officer Clemens to dip his feet into that same water. As Clemens did so, the camera panned in on the side-by-side contrasting feet. Rogers then offered to dry Clemens' feet with a towel. The statement reverberated as the civil rights movement roiled around desegregating public swimming pools. A very deliberate man, Rogers clearly understood not only the scene's social statement, Clemens says, but also its theological implications. The two discuss how it recalled a Bible passage describing Jesus washing his disciple Peter's feet. The significance of Fred doing that for a black gay man is not lost, Clemens says. I felt unworthy, like Peter in the Bible. Why did he choose me? Years later, the impact deepened when he and Rogers recreated that scene. He chose me, and he chose me twice. Clemens felt and still feels anointed. For years, Clemens felt most at home, safe, and accepted in Rogers' friendship. But the relationship had one key complication. Clemens wanted to come out publicly, but Rogers said no. It was not a personal statement of how he felt about me, Clemens says. It had to do with the economics of the show. The mixed message prompted Clemens to marry a woman in 1968, a necessary sacrifice. He divorced in 1974. I was taken aback when I read that. I was disappointed to learn that my beloved Mr. Rogers was what I consider cruel to Francois Clemens. Would Fred Rogers believe today that his stance back then was just? Was it truly heartless? It was quite the dichotomy. Rogers saying he loved Francois and accepted him as a black gay man, but on the other hand, forbade him to live an openly gay life. Yes, a flaw existed in Fred Rogers amidst all his goodness. He was accepting of his dear friend Francois, who was black and gay, but in the end, ultimately, protective of his TV dynasty. So Clemens stayed in the closet for the sake of the show. This is a quote from an interview with Francois Clemens that was done at the Heinz History Center in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. In 1993, after a 10-year absence from the show, Officer Clemens appeared again in an episode where he and Fred reenacted their famous scene. Continued racial strife in the United States convinced Fred that the message he and Clemens shared in that 1969 episode desperately needed to be shared again. In the second pool soaking episode, Fred subtly took a step further by helping Officer Clemens dry his feet as he exited the pool. In the recreated episode, instead of their usual chat, Clemens, a trained operatic singer, actually sings one of Roger's songs to him. There are many ways to say I love you. Fred Rogers was a helper and a deeply caring person who chose to live a life of educating children, but ultimately had many valuable lessons for adults as well. Many of us are looking for the helpers right now. It takes a bit of courage and some vulnerability to seek out help. Even while looking for helpers, we also need to be the helpers. How do we accomplish being a helper? Some examples of how this community is being helpers: writing letters for UU The Vote, attending protests side by side with those whose rights are threatened, choir members attending and singing at the Transgender Day of Remembrance, members donating to needy families this past holiday season, marching in the MLK parade, volunteering in RE activities for children and youth, participating in or attending Loudoun's Pride Festival, volunteering in so many ways to help UUCL and Loudoun communities to thrive and coexist, to help the community flourish. So, let's remember, there are many ways to say I love you. Be the helper. Life is service. Kindle the flame of love and justice. Friends, we are the neighborhood. May we serve this neighborhood by living our UU values with love at the center. May we flourish together in this beloved community. May it be so.